We're going to do some stuff this morning, and I've called this called to give back. Have you ever realized that we take a lot from people and quite often don't give much back? And that's what teaching actually does. Teaching is something where you give something back, something you learn, something you've studied, something you've worked with. That's why it's important to know these things. And we're going to live in that capacity. There's always, in anything, when something is given, we're called to give something back. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one's like this. Love your neighbor as yourself." That's giving back. Whether we've known or understood or not, God calls us to an everyday ministry instead of weekend visits on Sunday, though Sunday assembly is critical. We must understand that God gives His most difficult battles to His strongest warriors. Have you ever asked a question like, what am I doing to give back for what all God's done for me? How in the world could you answer a question like that? What am I doing to give back for all God has done for me? God saved me. He gave me His righteousness like He did you. He made us clean so that He could walk among us and be a part of our world. And all indications are that we have not done well stressing the importance of this in the past. And we have had our excuses such as, oh, I don't have enough time, or I have too much work to do. Every one of us somewhere are saying words like that. I got too much to do. I can't go do this. I'm just too tired. Oh, isn't that good? I'm going to tell you what, I wake up tired. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Hebrews, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make clear to you because you're no longer trying to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. They obviously had sufficient time, and they obviously had ability according to the verses. Plus, in verse 14, the text indicates that their effort was insufficient. What happens when you do something important and you leave out important stuff? What would cornbread taste like if you left out some of that real important stuff? Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Because they did not pay attention to what God was leading, they ended up having different things in their lives which accompany not goodness but destruction. They were drifting away from God, to tell you the truth. And it says clearly in the text, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Failing to take heed is one of those things that hurts us in life. See to it, 3:12, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And there are people doing that all over this nation right now. Now, I don't want to get on a tear, because if I did, I'd tear something up. But I'm going to tell you, this is happening. The COVID thing was a bad thing. I didn't like it, you didn't like it, and there was people that died by the millions. Preachers are running away from their job. Takes 3 years to find one in most churches right now in the Church of Christ. Elders are telling their preachers, don't preach longer than 15 minutes. Why are we here? What's the use if you're going to be there just a few minutes? See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Satan wants everybody to do it wrong, and he knows what's wrong and right, but he wants it wrong. Sometimes we fail to give diligence to God's rest. The text says, let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will perish by following their example and their disobedience. In contrast to all of this, there's four things that should go along with salvation of who claim to be children of God. Work. Work. It's work to do what God calls us to do. It's easy to sit in here in the cool and, you know, it'd be 105 outside, and that's probably true out there right now. But you don't throw good things away. You utilize that. So what do? When you talk about work, it goes along with salvation. God calls us to work. There's songs in our book. What is it? To the work, to the work. And we think, well, that's a cute little song. Did we get the point? I have built houses, and I can promise you, you cannot do it if you don't pick up the hammer and the nails and the lumber and all the stuff you need. Yes or no? Well, I'll tell you what, church works not. It's not attendance. Well, we have such a good attendance. That's a result of the work. It's not being happy. That's a reward of the work. It's not partaking the Lord's Supper, because that was the privilege we had just now, a few minutes ago, to the work. It's not giving, because that's the financial support of the work. And all of that, by the way, comes from God. What is church work? In Acts 15:30, the text would tell you it was the delivery of the Word of God. It's not about stuff. So the men were sent off, went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging messages. Acts 15:32, it's exhorting the believers. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Do you realize our job is not to come in here, listen to the fat guy preach, and go home? There's a point to this beyond being here and doing that which God commanded me to do. I wish we could just get rid of the word commanded and just put in the word love, and we do it because we love God, not because we're commanded to do it. It includes visiting with concerns of brothers or sisters who are out and away, or who are hurting, who are distressed. And the text will tell you that sometimes later Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord to see how they're doing. We're keeping up on people. God named all of this work. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take them because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and not continued with them in the work. Romans 14:19-21, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace, to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that'll cause your brother or sister to fall. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another. Do we need that kind of stuff? I'm going to tell you, I don't do as well as I used to do. I don't know. You should notice that by now. I notice that some of you don't walk as well as you used to walk. I notice that some of you don't remember some things that you used to remember. Is that true? Does that happen? You know what could fix that? If we all just understood, that's okay. Just pet them on the head, go on by. Sometimes that's all we got to do. And that's all we need having done to us. Ephesians 4:3, be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 9:1-2, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus the Lord? Are you not the result of my work? These guys in the early years, in the definitive years of the gospel and all of that, they had to fight to get where they were going. Are you not the result of our work? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you're the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:15, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. I just heard the scripture say, let's follow him, not somebody else. What do you say? Helping others is critical. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, and they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerful at work with them all, they were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to those who had need. You don't see or hear much about that very often. 2 Peter 1. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you profess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed with their past sins. Do we ever get to thinking that, you know, I'm a pretty good guy? I used to think I was a pretty good guy till I found out I wasn't. And that wasn't a real shock. But I try and continue to try to make it better. Love for God goes along with salvation. Matthew 22:34-40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, Love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law and prophets hang on these commands. Many of us, and that's self-included, you understand, need to change our ways and dive into the riches of God's love so that we can be great men and women and be like the people of old. Abraham loved God. and he believed him. Moses loved God and he followed him. David loved God and he obeyed him. And the list could be very long. These are the things the scriptures were written for, so that those of us who forget can simply go back into the Word and find all over again these great promises. 1 Peter 1:15 to 17, "But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" I want to be holy because God's holy. The love of those in the covenant go a long ways in salvation. I don't think we've really done across the board. I'm not saying necessarily here or what, but across the board, I don't think we've made a great understanding of what God has done in giving us what He's given. I know that God loves me, and I know I failed Him many times. But you know what? Because He gave me what He did, by giving me Himself, I get to stay with Him. You can't beat that. Love prefers the best for other persons. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 13, "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that you have passed from death to life because you love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death." That's a big word. I don't want that word. "Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what the love is, Jesus Christ." Here's what the real crucial thing is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And anyone who has material possessions and see a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can they love God and be then that person? Dear children, do not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. When you come walking in here with piles of water like this, just to give to people, you're not going to drink that water. Do you do that because you have to do that or go to hell? Or is that an expression of we want to help you like God has helped us? That's what that is, you see. To those with whom you assemble together, as well as all those outside the doors that are in the faith, do you love those? Hebrews 6, 9 to 12, "Even though we speak like this, friends, we're convinced of better things in your case, things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust that he will not forget your work and the love you have shown with him and help his people continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and through patience inherit what has been promised." Where would we be if God made up excuses like this? "Oh, I could have created another moon, but I don't just want to anymore. I'm tired of it." I want to tell you, God's on the move, and He's watching us. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." They obviously had sufficient time and ability, according to this verse. Plus, in verse 14, the text indicates that their effort was insufficient Because they did not pay attention to what God was leading, they ended up having different things in their lives which accompanied destruction. We must pay most careful attention and not drift away. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Be encouraged one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What do we do? What do we need to do? The delivery of the Word of God was different when some of the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together, delivered the letter. The people read it glad for its encouraging message. Do we have an encouraging message? We need a message that says, God, I love you, and I know you love me, and I know you will do for and with me everything you can and will, but you want me to be in the picture with you. This thing we call being embraced with God is not a sit-down thing when you go put it down and that's the end of it. It is a working thing that goes and moves and just moves through the people. And when the people do that and move through the people and it begins to pick up around and people see and understand, all of a sudden, you start to have little talks with somebody that you didn't have before. And you're moving that material around. Those words of greatness coming out of the Scripture. I have no business trying to get in God's business. My business is to follow Him. Alan's business is to follow Him. All of our business is to follow whom? Him. And if we follow Him, we'll have it down pat.